Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen. And this week, and I think this might turn into two episodes, but we'll see once we get this rolled out. But this week, we're going to talk about tax strategies for flower farmers post-election. And honestly, these are things that we need to talk about. You are listening to this podcast because you want a business, not a hobby. And we're going to dive into what this means. And I'm going to start out by saying that 4 years ago, I lost my husband to a heart attack. And at that time, we were very divided on what he took care of, what I took care of. I didn't even know how to log into our bank account. I had a lot of ideas on like compound interest, Roth IRAs, and traditional investing. And we both were very, really high earning W-2 employees. To call a spade a spade, my doctorate degree is a nurse practitioner. I cash flowed my graduate degree by doing it over 6 years. I saved for 2 years before I even started the program. And then I started it so that I didn't take out any student loans. Like, we were so intentional about so many things that we did. And we were doing everything right the traditional way. And as a quick segment, if you're wondering how I learned all this stuff, you should join my Back to Better book club. It's the bonus episodes every other Friday, but the episode links are always in my notes. Actually, our book for January is going to be called Killing Sacred Cows. And it basically teaches you to think out of the traditional, like, go to work, save for retirement, work for 45 years and then enjoy life. Like, it really teaches you to think differently. So if you're wondering how I learned all these things, it's because I've read all these books: Killing Sacred Cows, Retire Early with Real Estate Investing, Die with Zero. All of these books have gotten my mind thinking over the last 4 years since he passed away. And so if you're wondering, like, what are her credentials? Nothing other than I've literally just self-taught myself, and I've invested so much time into learning about this stuff. So when Josh died, it was this ridiculously, obviously heavy grief. But at the same time, I think one of the worst parts of that secondary grief was this unsettling experience that I promised myself I'm not going to voluntarily ever experience that again, which is the loss of my consent on what was happening to my life. And I am such a controlling person in the fact that I don't have to be in charge, but things have to be under control. I like to know what's going on. I like choosing things. I like picking how I want my life to be. Things were happening to me without my consent, and I felt so helpless and hopeless. And from that point, I decided to dive in deep and learn everything I could about business, money, whatever it was, as I was making these decisions, because I had one kid and one on the way, and it was completely on me. Okay. I didn't have a second person to run these decisions by. So usually, even if one person is like the breadwinner or the income earner or whatever, like, and then, you know, you make decisions and then at least you have a team that you can together say, like, well, we chose that wrong, but we should have done this. Like, that pressure of every decision being on me, and there was no one to blame but me. Like, I made whatever choice it was. And so I decided to start learning. And I want to give an example of, as you know, this election just came out, and we're going to get deep into it. But I have recently been kind of waiting on this election to decide what I'm going to do here, whether I'm going to continue investing in my business or whether I'm going to increase my W-2 hours. Honestly, as a nurse practitioner, I work one day a week, and it's just been this, you know, changing political landscape, political climate. And ultimately, you know, for example, Brent and I are trying to get pregnant, and we're hoping, you know, I had to do fertility treatments, and we're going to have to do that again, and because my ovaries are lazy and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I have been looking at increasing my hours to justify. They just passed a paid leave act in Minnesota starting in 2026 that you get 12 weeks paid completely vacation. Well, again, that's for W-2 earners, whatever. And right now I wouldn't qualify for that. However, I do get 3 hours of PTO every 2 weeks because of the 12 hours a week I work. And so for me, I look at the choices and it's like, okay, yeah, I could increase my hours now, ask to change my FTE to a 0.45 so that I'm working 18 hours a week on average. Well, that would basically be an extra 26 days of work a year to get an extra 12 days paid throughout the entire, you know, if I were to take a maternity leave. And to me, that's just not worth it. That flexibility that I have as a business owner, it's looking at the big picture, weighing the pros and cons, and I don't want to have to adjust. That will affect my revenue on the farm, on the coaching, on the podcast, my goals that I have there, my book that I have coming out, my speaking, my ability to travel. We have this rental property now. So it's not worth that to me. But again, pretending like it doesn't exist is not going to be helpful. And I have learned that people make bad and hasty decisions when they're scared, when they're angry, when they're stressed. And as a business owner, I know the power of learning all of the rules and gathering the facts and making informed decisions on my own terms. And this way I have control of my path and building a business that supports my family and respects my personal goals. So I'm recording this on November 7th. Our president-elect is Donald Trump. We have a Republican control of the Senate, and it's looking like probably the House and Supreme Court. You know, regardless of what your political beliefs are, we have a new administration with very specific tax priorities. And it's our job as business owners to adjust. And I would imagine every single person listening has very strong social convictions that they deeply, deeply care about. And I am not dismissing those in this episode. Don't sit here and think that this is an endorsement that I'm happy or mad, or this is how I did or didn't want it to go. But the fact is, we're going to talk about the tax system and how it does favor business owners, not employers. And that is going to continue. That is only going to deepen. So owning an LLC is not enough. To reap the tax benefits, you need to prove your venture is a real business. And this means demonstrating profit intent, consistent activity, and financial management. I have a friend that's a tax attorney, and I started working with him a couple years ago, trying to just understand all of this. And what if I were to get audited? And I live my life as if I'm going to get audited. And his words to me was, well, would you believe you? I'm like, what? And he's like, if you were a six-figure tax auditor paid by the IRS, an employee of the IRS, and their job was to investigate you, would you believe you? I'm like, yeah, this is a real business. This is happening. Everything I'm doing. He's like, okay, everything that you're going to write off, you need to justify that to one person that's a W-2 worker for the IRS. Their job is to investigate you. Will they believe you? Is it real? And that's like the core how I decide whether or not I can deduct things. So yes, I understand that politics is deeply personal and I'm not trying to sway anyone. I'm just as mixed politically with my experiences, with all sides, my background in healthcare, my personal experience now as a business owner, they all bring their own lens, but yet to build wealth and keep up with his tax shifts, we need to focus. So it does get really exciting for flower farmers because there will be changes like bonus depreciations, and it's not real loss. It's like a phantom loss that offsets taxable income, saving you money without affecting cash flow. So every single strategy that you do, from leveraging the tax code to asset depreciation, makes a huge difference, not just for your farm, but for your entire financial plan. And getting serious about understanding and using these strategies is strengthening your business in a way that you cannot ignore. Now, you are listening to this podcast because you want to have a business as a flower farm of some sort. If this doesn't interest you one bit whatsoever, the taxes, the finances, all of that, then you have a hobby of growing flowers and not a business of selling flowers. And that's okay. If you don't want to have a business, don't have a business. If you just want to grow and sell flowers, then go work for another flower farmer and grow the flowers and be a gardener and not worry about marketing, any of that stuff. We are going to go over some terms, basic flower farming tax terms, what that means, what the new Trump tax plan could mean for flower farmers, what that could look like, implications that it can have, and then just some actionable takeaways. But first, I want to give a little example on those that are thinking like, well, I don't want to cheat the system. I don't want to not pay taxes. It's not cheating the system. It's not. It is a law. It is a code. It's a rule that you can choose to follow or not follow. But I don't see anyone saying, well, I'm not taking the child tax credit because I should pay my fair share of taxes. Well, what do you mean? Like, that's the rule. So knowing the rules and understanding them and being able to make the decisions, your accountant can't do it after the fact. Your accountant, if you go to them in March and say, hey, now I want you to do all these things for last year so I can get the deductions, that's over. Your time of doing it has to be in the active, in the present, or even planning ahead for how to do it. So the fact is, the government relies on small businesses like ours to succeed because the economy needs us. When small businesses thrive, it has a ripple effect. So think of it as a dollar in motion stays in motion. So for example, every dollar that comes through my farm doesn't stop with me. I employ people. I buy goods from suppliers. I contract services. I contribute to local and federal taxes. All of that keeps other businesses going, people employed, and money moving through our communities. So for those that argue, you know, businesses don't pay taxes or whatever, let's break down what this actually looks like. So let's take a small restaurant, for instance, something entirely different from flower farming. They might have around 10 employees working each day for 13-hour shifts. Now, those same 10 people aren't going to be working 13-hour shifts, but maybe it's 130 working hours per day, if that makes sense. So maybe one person works a 6-hour shift, one person works a 7-hour shift for a combined 13 hours. So let's look at 130 working hours per day. If they are paying $18 per hour, that comes up with roughly $1,800 in daily wages. Now, payroll taxes are going to be at 15%, and they are split equally between the employer and employee. And again, this is in Minnesota, and I'm using this as an example, and none of this replaces the advice from a CPA. You absolutely cannot come and say, well, Liz told me, no, this isn't, nope. But of that part, that 15%, your employer pays an extra 7.5 on top of that $18 per hour. So really, that $18 per hour, they have to pay more like, you know, $19.50 or whatever. And then the other 7.5 comes off of that employee. So that 15% is split equally. So the government is getting their 15% of $18 per hour or whatever that wage is. So that's about $270 per day, every single day that a restaurant pays in just employee taxes that go toward Medicare, Social Security, all those things. So take that $270 per day and say that restaurant's open 7 days a week. That business is paying $98,000 in payroll taxes alone before even considering any other tax contributions. Plus all of, you know, the food that they sell has sales tax on it. The drinks that they sell have sales tax on it. All of those, you know, the goods and sales tax, those are entirely separate. But again, so to say like, well, businesses don't pay taxes, and why would the government give these depreciations, and why does the government allow for this to happen, and why do they get those breaks? Because the government wants businesses to be open. The government wants these places to thrive, because if we don't have them, then people don't have jobs. Taking a quick break from the episode to talk about QuickBooks. I used to use a payroll company because I W-2 my employees, because if you're in Minnesota, you know that you can't get away with just 1099-ing someone when they should be W-2 because of all the new sick and safe laws. So having an established payroll system in place is your best bet, and I do it all through QuickBooks. I used to pay this company like $70 a month, and I still had to send the amounts and the hours to them, and QuickBooks just does it for you. It would take me 10 minutes to send that email, and now it takes me 25 minutes total. I mean, there's my $70 a month that I used to pay this accounting firm. So the best part is my employees can handle all of it on their end, entering their personal information, like their social security number, their bank account, all of that, and I don't have to ever see it. So I cannot stress enough how great QuickBooks is if you need to do a payroll. So head to the episode notes, and you will get an exclusive 30% off for 6 months
offer if you use my code. This is 20% off more than you will ever find on the regular website. So make sure you use my code. Thanks.
I feel like this is making me sound really political one way or the other. I really don't mean to be. Like, I'm just, these are the facts, and you're listening to this because you want to own a business, and this is just part of it. So to run a successful, sustainable business, we need to be strategic. Knowing the tax laws, using them legally and ethically, and making thoughtful decisions is not about avoiding costs. It's about ensuring that we can keep investing back in our communities. So now we're going to dive deep into some essential accounting terms. And yes, it is absolutely critical to hire a CPA who understands your unique tax needs, and this isn't to replace their expertise. However, it's up to you to know enough to ask informed questions. As a business owner, I didn't know isn't going to cut it. Okay. If you get audited, you can't say, well, I didn't know. No, it's your job to know. And it's your responsibility to understand the basics so you're not caught off guard when you're trying to make decisions that impact your business's finance. If you don't know what to ask, or if you don't know what things to plan for, your CPA can't go back and retroactively change the way you spent your money, and they can't, you know, give you advice later. That's why tax planning is all year long. It's not just in the spring for last year. It needs to be planned ahead. All right. So we're going to cover the basics, foundational tax terms that every flower farmer should know. So first of all, depreciation. Depreciation allows you to deduct the cost of major assets over their useful life. The IRS has specific rules for how long different types of assets can be depreciated. So for example, tractors is 7 years, buildings are 27.5 years. So for flower farmers, this could include farm equipment, tractors, greenhouses, whatever buildings on your farm. And instead of taking a large deduction in 1 year, depreciation spreads out the deduction over time, and this reduces your taxable income each year. So this will offset your W-2 earnings and the tax bracket that you're in. So if your husband has an off-the-farm job, or you have an off-the-farm job of $100,000 and you're depreciating things on your business, now instead of paying taxes on that $100,000, if you offset it by $30,000 in depreciation per year, now you're only paying taxes on that $70,000. And so it adjusts your income and your taxable wage. And so bonus depreciation is something that the Trump administration was really strong on last time. And that means businesses can claim bonus depreciation, which allows you to deduct a larger portion of the cost up front. And so for farmers, that's particularly useful if you buy new equipment like tractors or irrigation systems or something like that. You can take that entire deduction that year. Section 179 allows you to write off the full cost of full qualifying equipment the year that it was purchased up to a certain limit. And for small farms, it is especially helpful in getting those deductions right away. So that's something that was introduced last time and will probably, and you know, has kind of started to phase out, and it sounds like is going to be put back in, but we'll cover that later. So interest, or I shouldn't say we'll cover that later. That's complex. Like that's the basis of it though. So interest on the loans that you have taken out on your farm, if you're buying equipment, land, anything that is for business purposes, that interest is deductible. So the lake house that my husband and I just bought last summer, the interest on that mortgage, because it is a short-term rental property, because it is a rental and it's an actual business, we can take that interest and write that off. And that is adjusting my husband's off-the-farm income and my off-the-farm income, because I still work one day a week. So that you take that, I mean, say we spent $20,000 on interest, you know, if the mortgage is whatever, and it's a 30-year mortgage, you know, over half of your mortgage payment goes toward interest. Over half of that can be completely written off. Plus, we can depreciate the actual value of the home over 27.5 years. Plus, we can write off all the improvements to the house. So again, it's a business. People think we're crazy, but you know what? It works. Anyway, so this includes loans for farm equipment and even interest on like credit cards if you use them for business purchases. Now, really don't, if you're having to keep a balance on a credit card and have interest in order to run your farm. I don't think this is for you, but you know, it's a thought. But every farm is going to have operating costs, and these are expenses. And a good chunk of these can be deducted as business expenses. So not depreciation, but actual deductions. So seeds, fertilizer, soil amendments, pest control, all of those things. Utilities like electricity, water, whatever it is used for farming operations. Labor costs for employees, contractors, including any of their benefits. Marketing, advertising expenses to promote your farm. Education. So Flower Farmer Forum. Peddling perishable products, anything through Sunny Mary Meadow Coaching, Bloom and Grow LLC. I can give you a certificate to have proof, but honestly, just show your receipt. It literally is education. It's an expense. But being able to deduct these everyday expenses is essential for keeping your taxable income as low as possible and maximizing your profits. Now, the other caveat is if you want to get a loan, you have to show that you have income, right? It needs to be real income. And that is why the depreciation part is such a huge part of it, because you still have, you know, it's like a lot of businesses, you know, they make $0 on paper, but that's because of the depreciation. If they're making $0 total, and you know, then you're not making any money, you're not paying yourself, you can't take out a loan, a bank is not going to give you money. So it's always that fine balance between, you know, how you want to do things. Now, I'm not going to get into the weeds of it on this public podcast. It is not your business. But on the private PPP podcast, I am really diving deep into the details of my event space, farm building business, flower shop, whatever you call it, this very expensive new expansion to my farm. And I'm talking about the conditions of the loan. I did a whole episode in there about my P&L statements, everything that I had to submit to the bank, essentially feeling like I was on Shark Tank, having a paper trail to get the bank to lend me this money on the conditions that it's going to be in. And so it's, you can't just have to have a paper trail. You have to have documentation. You have to take your business seriously in order to be able to grow like this and take advantage of a lot of this, because that's the thing. If you're running a cash business and now you want to depreciate all these things, well, where's the receipt for what you bought and how do you write it off and where did the money come to pay for it? Right? So you can't just, it's complicated, and you have to do it right legally. Every legal deduction is what I'm teaching you how to do. Anyway, getting back to it. Property taxes, that is also a basic term that you can write off. So if you own your land or your buildings, you're paying property taxes, and those taxes can be deducted from your income. Insurance premiums on farm property, equipment, workers' compensation, all of those things are deductible. Keeping these items in mind can help you reduce your overall tax burden at the end of the year. Again, in the private PPP podcast, so anyone that pays for foundations of peddling perishable products gets access to that private podcast. And it's basically a free mastermind, free group coaching. And as we're starting to get more and more people going in, at some point, I'm going to cut it off. At some point, I'm going to say, nope, that part is paid. But right now, it's all just a bonus. You get all of that for free. So at some point, I'm going to say, nope, the course is this. And then if you want access to that private podcast, group coaching, ongoing stuff, like that's going to be a paid. I don't know when I'm going to do that. I don't know if I'll ever do it. As of now, I don't have a plan. But if we start getting, you know, if this turns into 150 people, then I'm definitely going to have to filter it a little bit. But there are so many things that are going into play that I talk about in the podcast, like the homestead credit and having my taxes zoned commercial versus residential versus agriculture. And, you know, why in Minnesota there are some really unique rules in my primary residence and all of these things. But those are all things that can make a difference of literally tens of thousands of dollars every single year on your taxes. And so keeping in mind that we have to be really diligent on expenses that are directly related to the business. So you cannot deduct those personal things. You have to keep track of it. You have to keep it straight. I use QuickBooks to keep track of all of it and just really diving in. So understanding these terms to your farm business operations are going to save you money on taxes and make sure that you are complying with the law. So it is so essential to track your expenses and depreciation regularly throughout the year and waiting until tax time, or rather than waiting until tax time, because you cannot maximize those deductions and maintain a profitable business. So in the next segment, we're going to cut it off. We're going to have part one, part two. So tune in next week. We're going to talk about the changes under Trump's new plan and how it could impact your business and things that you should be doing now for the end of 2024 and questions to have your accountant planning for next year, 2026, moving forward. Reminder, the Flower Farmer Forum Conference is January 25th, 2025 in Sartell, Minnesota. We got hotels. We got an airport an hour away. We are going to have a whole panel on accounting 101. We're going to have some business professionals there. It's not just going to be me ranting like I am on the podcast. It's going to be people that can actually answer your questions and just financial and tax insights that can help flower farmers and make smart decisions. If you are listening to this before November 15th, the price goes up after November 15th. So you have until midnight to save 30% by using the code EARLYBIRD. So click the link, type in EARLYBIRD. You get it to come for the whole 1-day conference for $207. If you use the code EARLYBIRD, after that, it goes back up to $297. Hope to see you there. Hope to see you in person. It is such a fun energy. It is such a fun time. I love it. And if you are really wanting to get a deeper understanding, I really encourage you to sign up for my Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products course. You can do a one-time payment. You can do a six-month payment. You can do a one-year payment. I am adding so much to it as I continue. The course has evolved. I'm changing out modules. We've got a private Facebook group just for that. We have the private PPP podcast, so people submit questions and then we go over it as group coaching. If you are looking to scale up your business, I would love to help you do that. You can have a free 15-minute consultation call with me to see if, you know, if I think it's going to be a good fit for you. But ultimately, when I started this podcast, it turned into all these flower farmers following me on social media, and I put out a SurveyMonkey poll. And on that poll, I had, you know, a couple hundred aspiring flower farmers fill out that survey. And on that survey, 71% said that they wanted this to be their full-time income with flower farming. Okay. 71% of people said that I don't want this to be a hobby. I don't want this to be a side hustle. Like, I want this to replace my income. However, at the same time, so many people voice concerns because I'm like, well, what concerns do you have about? What do you want to talk about? What topics should we talk about on the podcast? Like, and at the time I had no idea that I was going to start a course and the group that I have, I just thought it'd be like one-to-one consulting. And the concerns that I was given were, I don't want to be a social media star. I don't want to have to, you know, market. And I want to grow flowers. I don't want to market. I don't want to be a marketer. And I don't want to charge so much for my flowers. I want to make an honest living without getting rich. And while these are all valid sentiments, they do not align with what it takes to succeed in a competitive market. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's not going to help to be fluff. Like, I'm not a cheerleader. This is what you need to know. So for example, it's like, if you want to lose 20 pounds, but you refuse to change your eating habits and you're like, well, I want to lose 20 pounds, but I'm just going to exercise. Okay. Mindset and action go hand in hand to reach your goals. And I will tell you, as my business is growing and continues to grow, there were some rough years, but it's starting to get a heck of a lot more fun when I can hire a bookkeeper. And once a month, I take 20 minutes to just like look over the profit and loss statements because I give her my bank statements. I give her everything. She reconciles it all in QuickBooks, like profit and loss statements at the end of every month. Boom. Rather than me having to do that and getting distracted, like now I can hire those parts that I hate doing, but I love analyzing the numbers. I just hate taking the time to input the numbers. Or, you know, I have a Google Doc and I make my social media posts or I write the content for them, but then I pay someone to like design them on Canva. As your business grows, it starts getting a lot more fun. Let me tell you that, because you get to do the fun parts. And guess what? In the summertime, like in the spring, I get to do the planting. I love the planting. I get to do the tulip planting. I get to do that stuff, but it's the day to day when I have to make every single bouquet. Now I get to hire it out and it's fun. So as a coach, I want to help others reach this level too, but it starts with recognizing that as business owners, you have to embrace that every tool and stay informed. And I really hope that this episode was helpful, and stay tuned for the part next week. Again, questions, if you want to join Peddling Perishable Products, Foundations of PPP, get access to the Facebook group, the private podcast. If you want to join us in person in January, you don't have to be part of PPP to come to the Flower Farmer Forum Conference. If for whatever reason you think that that's not right for you, but you want to come to the conference, welcome. Awesome. Sweet. Love to have you. And there are a lot of people that aren't in PPP yet, but maybe they will. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm just trying to build this resource that I wish existed when I got started out. And I just want to share that knowledge with you guys in an organized way. So thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for part two.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website at flowerfarmerforum.com. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at sunnymarymeadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.